Raman Reti literally means pleasure-giving sands, and Krishna and Balaram had great fun playing in this terrain. There is a temple here in which many sadhus live. There's also a goshala on the premises. After taking darshan of the deities, we roll in the very fine sand, which has been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Some of the devotees prayerfully pour sand on each other's heads. I often like to say to the Vaishnavis on Parikrama that they can use this powder as a cosmetic instead of the types of powders they buy from cosmetic shops. These are my regular promotional lines for the sacred Vraja Duli. The dust is very fine. You can bring it home and smear your faces with it. Enhance the beauty of your body as well as your soul. Throw away all your other powders and embrace this one alone. After all, it's the powder preferred by the gopis. Hanumat Preshika Swami always jokingly remarks that he's with us at the beginning of the parikrama. The women tend to maintain their makeup, but after a few days it becomes too much trouble to apply it, so they stop wearing it. When they stop wearing makeup and instead become covered with Vraja dust, they start to look like German soldiers during World War II, Maharaj says. We stop here for our morning class, during which we hear about Lord's childhood pastimes, a few of which I have described here. Before class, we sing a famous song from our Vaishnava songbook. Krishna Janaka Namahe, Gokula Janaka Damahe. After class, we stay here for a sumptuous breakfast. The devotees sit in rows, and our leaf plates are filled with fragrant rice dal, puris, sabji, and salad. We merrily chant the prasad prayers and the Maha Mantra before honoring the Lord's remnants. After prasad, we wash our hands, fill our water bottles, and hit the road. Our mood is light-hearted, and we seem more light-footed, too. Perhaps it's because we've accomplished something. We will soon complete the parikrama. Ravel is now only a few kilometers away. We walk along the busy Mathura Gokula Road, which invariably means car horns and fumes are back on the map. I think of Raghava Pandit's parikrama with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, and how different things must have looked back then. Around midday, we arrive at our most awaited destination, Ravel. Formerly known as Mukiryavali, Ravel is the transcendental appearance place of Srimati Radharani. O Srinivas, just see Ravel, the village where Vrishabhanu happily resided. Sri Radhika appeared here, and by her auspicious appearance, the whole world became filled with joy. In the city of Mukiryavali, the precious jewel known as Srimati Radharani took birth in the mine of Kirtida Devi's womb, which is glorified by the jubilant demigods, sages, and human beings. I pray that when I enter King Vrishabhanu's capital city of Mukiryavali, populated with many gopas, gopis, and surabhi cows. I may be drowned in a great flood of transcendental bliss and love. The Ladali Lal Temple, the main feature of Rawal, is tucked away in a pleasant but lonely spot above a kilometer from the main road and not far from the Yamuna. To get there, we turn left off the main road onto a narrow path and cross a number of thorny patches as we wind our way through high grass and fields. There's always a price to pay for special darshans. The darshan of Sri Sri Ladali Lal is sublime. Their lordships are relatively short and round-faced. Their loving glances and affectionate smiles fill our hearts with sweetness. Recently installed in this temple is a beautiful deity of Srimati Radharani as a baby. Her form and posture are very similar to that of the popular Ladu Gopal, and she could easily be mistaken for him. The parikrama devotees part with the last few notes and coins they have put aside for donations. Then we go to our camp, which has been set up close to the temple. After identifying our respective tents, we unpack, settle in, and rest for a while. In the mid-afternoon, we gather again in a small garden next to the Ladali Lal Temple to hear about Srimati Radharani's transcendental appearance and glories. Our lunch prasad is due a little later than normal today. As usual, when we stay at Rawal, a huge feast is sponsored for all the parikrama devotees. After the lecture, while we wait for our prasad truck to arrive, the devotees take advantage of one another's association. Some of the devotees made an effort to dress nicely for their last evening on parikrama. They exchange phone numbers with their new friends and share realizations and experiences with all those who are or have become close to them. At this time tomorrow, our parikrama will be complete and we will each go our own way. But after a month of such intense association, the devotees don't want to be separated. They will miss each other, and the atmosphere is surcharged with the mood of appreciation and affection. At long last, our prasad truck arrives and the leaf plates are laid out in front of them. The feast does not disappoint anyone. Extra hands are needed for the serving because there are so many preparations. Some of the parikrama devotees happily volunteer to serve their companions, walking up and down the rows. Rows of seated devotees with buckets of pasta, curry noodles, sprout salad, raita, paneer, and other sabjis, koftas, rice puris, different kinds of rotis, and to top it all, a delicious sweet rice. Everyone is blissful and smiling. One of our Indian pilgrims says, "There are certain preparations that I ate for the first time in my life on parikrama. I have never tasted Chinese noodles or pasta before I came on parikrama." The rising, almost full moon conjures remembrance of our first evening on parikrama. The moon was full then too. At 6:30 p.m., we come together for Sandhya Aarti. The conch blows and the pujari rings the bell, waving incense at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Nitai Gaurasundara. The sights and sounds of the Ardity fill our hearts with nostalgia. This is our last Sandhya Arti together on Parikrama. The devotees sway to the beat of Kadatals and Madangas as nightfall wraps us up together. To the Supreme Lord, whose form embodies eternity, knowledge, and bliss, whose earrings swing to and fro, who shines beautifully in Gokula, who, due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, quickly ran from the grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yashoda, but who was finally caught from behind by her, who ran faster than he, to that Supreme Lord, Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. By visiting Ukkala Bandana today, we have been rewarded with new insight into Satyavrata Muni's beautiful prayers. This is the magic of Vrajamandala Parikrama. Now we can match a place with what we hear, much like putting a face to a name. Perhaps by going there, we may have unknowingly touched or breathed in the same dust raised by the Lord's feet as his mother chased after him. It's by chanting the Hare Krishna and hearing about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord that one can make the most out of visiting these wonderful places. When done sincerely and seriously, more depth is added to our hearing. So much so that we hanker only to come to Vraja again and again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, the savior of the whole world, has created for us the Krishna Balaram Mandir. When the first devotees were sent to Vrindavan, such as Achyutananda Swami and others, Prabhupada realized that he would have to create a place for his disciples. He saw that it was necessary. So in India, Prabhupada had three main projects: Vrindavan, Mayapur, and Bombay. So that Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan was installed in April of 1975. And it was a glorious and great achievement. And then, as the years went by, Mayapur became more built, and also the Bombay temple. So these are the three main temples that Prabhupada wanted constructed for his disciples, and of course, grand disciples and grand disciples therefore. Because eventually every devotee will want to visit the holy place, want to visit Vrindavan. So Prabhupada wanted to create a home so that his disciples and followers could feel welcome in the land of India, in this case, Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada has given us so many other gifts. Prabhupada has given us the association of devotees. Sometimes the question is asked, why is it necessary to have an international society for Krishna consciousness? And the answer is, And it was mentioned yesterday in the reading that on our own, it is impossible to become Krishna conscious. Maya is too strong. The living entity is infinitesimal, 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. The living entity is so tiny, and being tathastha, marginal energy of Krishna, it can easily be overcome by the material energy. So, to become self-realized Krishna conscious on our own is impossible because Maya is too powerful. As is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Duratyaya, it is insurmountable. She's too powerful. She is empowered by Krishna, the material energy. But Krishna says, one who surrenders to me, that person can overcome. But that surrender to Krishna necessitates the association of devotees. So that is another reason why Prabhupada created an international society. Because Prabhupada well understood there must be a place where devotees can associate and congregate. And that brings us to a very important point, that when we associate, it should be spiritual association. As we are reading every day in these parikrama chapters, the association is simply based on Krishna Katha. No mundane, materialistic talks. So it is also important that when we get the association of devotees, the association should be based on Krishna. We should not spoil the opportunity to associate with devotees by discussing mundane things, politics, village talks, no, gossiping, no. When we come in the association of devotees, we must hear and discuss Krishna Katha, the words Krishna has spoken and the words devotees have spoken about Krishna. This is our main business as devotees and association. We should always be absorbed in Krishna Katha. And of course, as we read in this chapter, Prabhupada has also given us Krishna Prasad. Lord Chaitanya's movement is chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. And me personally, that is the religion and movement I joined. I did not join a Hindu religion. I joined the religion that chants God and dances for God and eats food offered to God, the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement. Chant, dance, take prasad. That is the religion, that is the movement I joined. So take full advantage of the gifts of Prabhupada. And now, His Holiness Lokanath Swami has given us this supplement to the Krishna book in terms of this Vrajamandal Darshan, such a wonderful presentation. And as I read the chapters all these days that I was given this service, I could actually feel myself there. The way His Holiness Lokanath Swami has written this book, he makes it so easy to actually picture and feel the experience. So may Krishna bless you all, and may you all become more and more attached to Krishna.